Hold a seat at the bar to join us for another episode of McAnally's Pubcast, a podcast exploring the fun and fantastical mind of Jim Butcher's The Dresden Files series. Hosts Tanzin Jess and Maggie bring you another round of literary analysis on this immense, immersive, and colorful environment inhabited by Harry Dresden, the world's only licensed private investigator and professional wizard. Join an active and engaged community of new and diehard dedicated fans focused on the fabulous themes, theories, characters, context, lore, and more. This is McAnally's Dresden Files Pubcast by Free Flow Rambling. Conjure by it at your own risk.
Welcome to the McAnally's Pubcast brought to you by Free Flow Rambling. This is episode 17.19, Faitha, where we are covering the novel Proven Guilty. My name is Tanzin, and I'm joined by Maggie.
Hello, hello.
Jess.
130 days.
And our guest, Shayla.
Back.
Chapter 30. Harry finds Charity and the children, but finds that Molly has been taken. They take the children to St. Mary's of the Angels, where Father Fort Hill talks to Harry about having faith.
I got out of the van, too shocked to see anything but destruction. It made no sense. It made no sense at all. How in the hell could this have happened? How could my spell have turned the phages and sent them here? Let me go back one page. Oh, God, oh, God, oh, God. I sent the phages after Molly. Well, which is it, Justin? Do you get it or do you not get it?
It does make the revelation at the end of the chapter a little bit like...
I thought you got this. I guess. So, yes, I sent them after Molly, but why? I was trying to send them after some anonymous bad guy. I wasn't deliberately sending them after Molly, so why?
I do like Harry having the panic attack outside the home and totally unable to act on this, and what do I do? And holy shit, and this is not how it's supposed to be. And
Michael, this is Michael's house. I sent this to Michael.
Yeah, exactly,
Michael.
Like, I don't know, decision fatigue, but worse. Oh my God, what do I do now? And I like Thomas coming up being like, who? The fuck lives here?
Yeah.
Why are we freaking out right now?
Why? I don't get
We've broken into Murphy's house tons of times. It's not this. Who else do you know?
Exactly.
What do you mean you know more than one person?
Liar.
When Thomas finds out he knows the gravity of this, is like, oh shit.
Yeah. Oh no, the house of 100 kids? Oh, we're fucked.
Yep, so there is a little bit of destruction on the outside, you know, the cute little picket fence is busted in. I love how in the dark from the sidewalk, Harry's like, I think I can see blood on. I'm like, dude, I can barely see my door when I'm coming home. You know, I was like, can we get a little fucking porch light out here? Like, it does nothing. I've got the light on directly above my head, and I still can't find the keyhole to get the... But yeah, from across the street in the dark with damage and all kinds of...
It may or may not be cut from the last episode, but as I said, my entire street lost power a week or two ago. Actually, the point of this episode, 2 months ago. It was dark as fuck without the street lights on. Like, I don't care about houses not having porch lights, but I didn't realize it's been a minute since I've been out about without street lights.
Right.
Oh, I worked in Maine at this resort, and when there was no moon, and they warned you that the camp lights would go out on, it's Lake Kezar, it's where Stephen King writes his books. Yeah, it's creepy, but at like midnight they would shut the lights off, and if you didn't have a light, you were sleeping where you stood.
Right.
Because it was so dark.
Yeah. As somebody who does cub camps like a minimum of 3 times a year, yeah, when you get out past that ambient city lights, it can be very, very dark.
Especially if there's a lot of trees.
But still, inner city, you expect to be able to see.
Yeah.
It's the same, like, family owns a farm. You go out there, and as soon as it's nighttime, everybody's tucked into bed.
Yeah.
For the night. If you got to pee in the middle of the night, you better know that layout of the house.
Or you better brought your flashlight. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, or my grandpa used to keep a flashlight by my bed. So if I got up in the middle of the night and I wanted like a drink of water or I had to pee, like I could find
my way. You could navigate.
But again, growing up on it, like now as a full grown adult, it's like, I've got to go to the bathroom and I'll just go.
Yeah. But yeah, we've been that. Yeah. If you've got a good moon, then great. No problem. If it's cloudy or there's no moon, then yeah, you're standing out in the middle of the woods, not seeing your hand in front of your face, right? But Harry can see fucking blood on the door, maybe, from here.
He's a detective. He's totally used to looking for blood.
Right.
He found blood on Wacker Street, okay? He can find anything.
That's true. But the ghost told him where to find the blood on Wacker Street. He didn't. He just found a dark patch where he's like, okay, this must
Could be
it.
Thomas takes the easy way out. I'll look outside. You go inside.
Yeah.
Thanks, Wuss. Thomas. You fucking... Yeah, exactly. Wuss.
Well, and Harry inspects the house, but shortly after, Thomas ends up calling him straight back out anyways because he's found someone.
But not before you get a few of those little gut punch, right? Like, he goes in and there's, like, you know, like, I love you, Mommy, written in, like, kindergarten print and crayon, right? And he's like, oh, my God, this house full of children. I sent the... You know?
Yeah.
And he does so enjoy to kick himself when he's down, so...
Right. Uh-huh. Right. Yeah.
But I just love the scene that's painted. Like, the house is in complete disarray. It's definitely like you've walked in, the hero finds that the main person is missing, and then you usually cut to a shitty 80s montage, which I'm a little salty we didn't really get that.
Just saying.
I'm a little peeved.
Mulan finding a doll amongst the horrors.
Carnage.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
So, Daniel. Hi, Daniel. Wait, what's up? Well, you good?
It was the monsters. They took Molly.
I guess so, he's the final girl in this situation.
Are we just going to skip right over the part where he finds him in a treehouse that's only slightly...
In a treehouse of horror?
Yeah, well, Michael's a carpenter.
Michael's a carpenter. This giant... Yeah, I just fucking love that. And I'm like, you know what, though? My friend, actually, just bringing up Cubs and Camps, he is our section leader, and they moved to a place near one of the inner city lake thingies, right? And he put up a treehouse. This thing has fucking running water and electricity.
Oh, I hate him.
That doesn't count.
I'm like, what? Like, yeah, he should, because he's like, well, if the kids are out playing, we don't want them, like, running back in and out. So, yeah, they have, like, a little sink where they can get, like, a fucking glass of water or do, like, water play. And he had, yeah, he rigged it for, like, a couple of lights. Like, I can't remember if he had the fairy lights around it or a couple of light bulbs.
Is that up to code?
And then, yeah, well, he fucking, yeah, built this thing himself, first of all, asshole. And then, secondly, he was like, yeah, he's like, we're just waiting. He's like, I think I just need, like, a booster, and then we can get, like, Wi-Fi. I'm like, you have fucking, like, Wi-Fi in the... I was like, oh, my... I was like, literally, I was like, I don't have Wi-Fi at my house, okay?
It's okay. Michael relies on the light of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, right.
You want brighter lights? Pray harder.
But, yeah, I used to just be like, wow, this is totally, you know, a book thing, a TV. I'm like, no, I actually legitimately... I mean, again... The treehouse itself is not a hugely elaborate structure or anything like that. But nonetheless, that he did build it and it has fucking like electricity and running water. I was like, Jesus Christ.
So Daniel is the second oldest carpenter child. Molly's obviously the oldest. Daniel's been the one who's been taken over a little bit since Molly's been out the house.
No, I had to do everything since you took off.
Daniel doesn't do bedtime as good as you do.
I like that Thomas was still wearing the coat, but they wrapped Daniel up.
Yeah. He's cold. Let's wrap. Yeah. If it's big on Thomas, it's like wrap it around like four times around Daniel.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So Daniel, not stupid like Harry, not stupid like Bob, not stupid like Madrigal and Thomas and Murphy. Where's your family? In the panic room. Thank you. Holy fuck. It would have been four more fucking chapters to learn that information from anyone else in these goddamn books.
Right?
Of course the carpenters have a fucking panic room.
Can't imagine that people just like ramble on and on forever. Don't just get to the point of what they're talking about.
Doesn't make any sense at all.
Speaking of the carpenters, though, I have to ask. They obviously have some fucked up shit happen. And this is also very traumatic for them. Do the carpenters have, like, a regular therapist that they see, or do they just pray the trauma away?
See, this is what we've discussed, is that we think that the carpenters mostly keep it away from their children, because this is why we're getting angry at Molly earlier in the book for not recognizing the gravitas of the situation. It's because you should know your dad's job. It's been your entire life he's been on the job. How are you still so naive to so much of this world? But obviously the carpenters are not exposing their children to quite the extent of what mommy and daddy, or well, mostly not Charity, but for the most part, what dad and his friends all get up to.
I'm sure it's like being a cop or something. They don't come home and be like, I found a dismembered body and the guts were pulled up through the nose. Want to see the crime scene photos so you can understand daddy's jobs?
It just sometimes
daddy fights
home,
the bad guys. Yeah, right, exactly. You know, it's probably more along because, yeah, their kids are somewhat. But at the same time, it's also like, again, you see it here and you're like, how not? But in the real world, right, how much stuff did you learn as like again, if my dad had been a cop and it would have been like, oh, daddy goes out and fights the bad guys. You learn that at like 5 years old and you don't question it again because you're like, oh, I know and understand. And you don't realize until you're like 20 and you're like, oh, you know what? Like, I've just always been like, oh, daddy fights the bad guys. I'd never stopped to think about what that means and what he does and how endangered, right? You sometimes get that, like, child explanation, child whatever, and that's just locked in. You're like, oh, that's just what it is. And you're like, oh, you know what? I never actually thought to ask my dad about that, like, because it's just always the way it was, right? Like, at 20, if somebody said it to you, you'd be like, well, what about this and what about that?
In this case, they're just going to rack up all of their therapist bills by the time they're in their 30s. They're like, oh, I totally forgot about this, and that's, oh, wow, I'm fucked up.
Oh, I didn't realize they were talking about literal, not metaphorical demons.
Then they become those annoying adults that are like, I didn't even realize how much trauma I had this life. It's like, shut up. You were fine the last 20 years. Why do we have to cry about it now?
Right.
The power of denial. Come on.
The other thing that came first to mind when she posed that question is the Father Fort Hill. He is their priest. He is their lawyer. He is their psychotherapist.
He is their everything.
He is their...
Okay, so Father Fort Hill, man of many hats. Got it.
Priests have a lot of training, okay, guys? It's not just all fire and brimstone at the pulpit. Lots of people talk about these problems with their priests and stuff.
So Harry's going to go check that out. But in the meantime, we get the story of what happened. Daniel and Molly decided that while Mom took the little ones upstairs, they're going to fight off and distract the monsters. It's so sad.
They couldn't get there. They're like, we were cut off. We're like, all right.
Our job is to distract them.
I'm
sorry, but this just goes more and more to what Butcher is creating, but an homage to every shitty 80s movie. It's always the teenagers doing dumb shit. We've got to save the day. I'm going to hit them with a fireplace poker. Why didn't that work?
He made his main character a guy in his 20s, okay? He's got to take the opportunities where he gets them. Sorry, Carpenter children, you're the only teenagers we have.
This is also what, I don't know if this was one somebody sent or I discovered on my own the other day, but it was literally talking about that. It's like, again, I always see people complaining about, like, why do you always make the heroes of the world be like teenagers? And they're like, because fucking adults won't just, like, drop everything and go, right? Teenagers are like, I have to save the world. And they're like, you fucking go up to, like, a 35-year-old guy and be like, drop everything, and he'd be like, but I'm gonna lose my job. Yeah. And like, who's gonna cat sit
I've
for me?
I've gotta pay the mortgage.
Exactly. They're like,
can we also just maybe point out too, teenagers, their frontal lobes are not developed, so of course they do stupid things.
Exactly. You take advantage of that.
Exactly. And you can forgive the stupid things because, of course, how would they know better? And if it works, you're just lucky and great. That was brilliant.
And teenagers still want to save the world. Adults have laundry to do.
Yeah, exactly, right? They're just like, but yeah, I was like, it's so funny. I was like, you know what? That's very true. Like, exactly. If somebody just walked up to me and was like, you have to drop everything and go do this, I would be like, but I have this to do. I can't just walk away from my job. How am I going to pay my bills when I get back? Like, you know?
My 18-year-old brother just came to visit me for the first time in his life. I've always gone to him.
Yeah.
He came to me for the first time ever, and he walked into my house, which is not very large. It's a basement suite, okay? Almost all of it is one room plus a bedroom and bathroom.
Yeah.
And he walks in, he's like, this is what adults work their whole life to get. This shit sucks. And they just turn around and laugh. And I was like, okay, I fucking hate you.
Right?
I mean, you go save the world, you fucking piece of shit.
Yeah, so he could call you on a
quest. Give me a pot of gold and then maybe I'll have a nicer house, fucking piece.
All right.
Harry goes off to the panic room, goes to find it, and... I mean, okay, I get for the purpose of Dresden being able to find it, there was a tiny, almost imperceptible gap in the wall. Really? Michael left a gap in the wall
for you to
find?
No, it's not a gap in the wall.
Whatever the fuck it is.
It's...
just doesn't line up properly.
The size of the rooms. So where this room ends and the closet starts is actually right. The wall ends here, and the other linen closet wall is here. Why is there 3 feet of space in between them? That's the kind of thing it is. It's that the measurements don't quite... so that he can tell that there's an extra space. Because what should be a shared wall...
I found a section on the back wall of the closet just slightly misaligned with the corner it met.
Oh, you're talking about...
Go fuck yourself!
I thought you
were talking... Go fuck yourself! Fuck you! Read the source material!
I thought you were...
in front of your goddamn eyes!
Be quiet! She just has to take them whenever she gets them because they're so few and far between. I thought you were...
Yeah, but I got this one! Woo! Bow, 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 bow!
Yes and no. Yes and no. I thought you were talking about how he figured out where to look, like where the secret space was. Yes, when he opens it, they didn't quite close the door right. That's all I'm saying.
It's not Michael's carpenter skills. They didn't close the panic room door right.
See, and I thought it was because something tried to pull it open because they were in.
Maybe even that it was someone trying to break into it.
No, I think nobody even knows it's there because a monster would be able to pummel through drywall. It's the fact that it's a secret room.
Except that it's also protected by, I'm sure, steel reinforcements and the power of the Holy Spirit, so... obviously their panic room.
Well, we know the Holy Spirit because Harry has Lash check it out and she confirms, yeah, that's the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. It's not warded with magic like Harry, but the monsters couldn't have just pulled it open. That's Michael's whole thing in this gig. Is that I will fight the powers of evil, but you got to give me a little something for the family.
I saw a clip online of this comedian going, and she's like, I like ran into some other Christians, and I thought all Christians were the same, and then I found out, no, we're not. Because she's like, I'm Catholic. We're not allowed to just pray to Jesus. You Protestants, you just pray to Jesus for everything.
He's like your best buddy. Yeah, we have to go through a whole laundry
first
list.
First of all, you get a guardian angel, and you got to talk to them for everything. But if they're not good enough, then you go to a saint. All saints have a specific job. Anything you need, there's a saint for. You talk to them first. Then Jesus mother. You can talk to Jesus's mother, but you can't talk to Jesus.
Yeah, right. They're all like, Jesus is my best friend. We like talk back and forth all the time. Like, not if you're Catholic.
So all of the carpenters all have their team of guardian angels that are all just sitting here.
That's right. You got like 8 of them right now just fired up around this thing. And
I do have to point out a little bit. I was like, there's something that stuck out when he asks her, dangerous? There was an uncertain pause. It's possible. You are touched by more darkness than my own.
Right.
Bro, what the fuck is that about?
Right? I highlighted that was what?
I've been kicked out of heaven, but you are twisted.
What does
She's
this mean?
She's not saying he's more evil. Okay, he who walks behind.
Yes, that's a stain for
that's
sure.
That's a stain on you right there. Plus, like, again, somebody...
He did kill Justin with magic, justified or not.
You killed Justin with mage, right? There's that whole... Because that's the whole point of the start of this book, is you killed this guy who killed all his family. You start using black magic, and it gets in and it infects you, right? So his use of the black magic, his being touched by other demons... Him.
I get all that, but
he's gone.
2,000 years of Lashiel being a temptress, and Harry still touched by more darkness than her is crazy.
I just didn't understand if that was a comparison to her.
I think you're misreading. Not that his darkness is more than hers. She's not the only corruption in him.
Oh, okay.
Even I got that.
He's not the only one who has touched Harry.
There's two ways to read it, okay?
There are.
English has
Which
a lot
clearly,
of...
because both of us are like, what the fuck?
Woo! Team red shirts, team black shirts, okay.
Good point.
The couch people versus the chair people. Yes, that is all. Is that yes? She's like, yeah. She
well, thank
nuts.
You for clarifying. Yes. That actually makes a lot more sense.
I will
because I took
that
it
one.
As super ominous. It was like, holy fuck!
Yes.
What?
Yeah.
Me too.
Yes. No. He is not more evil than Lashiel. In this, but that is yes. But more things have influenced. He's come into contact with more things than just.
I was thinking. I was like, God is really forgiving. Lashiel just went to confession twice, and like if Harry just did that, he'd be good. But because he hasn't, Lashiel's like, ha ha, you're technically more evil than me, neener.
See, here's the thing. I don't think angels ever have to go to confession because angels don't have free will. They obey God.
Yeah, they
don't
cannot
sin.
Have sin. They cannot sin.
They don't need to. Okay. And once she's fallen, she ain't going to confession. So really, Harry has probably been to much closer anything to confession than Lashiel ever has. Just saying. Just throwing that out there.
Okay, so bang, 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 charity. It's Harry Dresden.
I love this.
So good. First of all, that's got to be like top three things you want to hear in that moment. Michael's voice, probably number one, but.
Right.
You know, what do you do? Stay in this panic room until the cavalry comes? How do you know when it's safe? We know already there's not like a security system in there, or else Charity would have already been out and been like, oh no, Daniel's dying in the field.
Yeah, exactly, right? So, how do
Go
I
down
know?
To the next oldest. Okay, champ, you're up.
Yeah.
I'm 10.
Alicia, Amanda, which
you're
one
the next
is
oldest.
She is super prepared. She has a shotgun and everything and is like, knows to ask to make them bleed.
That is right. How do I know you're the real? And it's so, like, again, really, Dresden? Like, again, you're not dealing with even somebody like Rollins, who you're not expecting to know anything about anything. Again, this is Michael's wife. He's like, what do you want to do, pull out my driver's license? She's like, bleed for me, dickhead? Oh, yeah, that's good. Come on, Harry, even we got that.
And even further than that, she asks in their continuing conversation if it was the Denarians. So she's well aware of a lot of stuff that Michael has to deal with.
She's his wife.
Well, yeah,
she's
it makes
partner.
Sense. You talk to your
he's
wife.
Not,
and tell,
yes.
You don't tell the kids everything, but of course your wife is supposed to know about
exactly,
all of it.
Right? They are partners. They are true partners. Yeah. They have this great relationship and marriage where exactly they don't keep bullshit
It's part
stuff.
Of the reason why she hates Harry so much. Michael keeps telling her everything.
Yeah, that too, but exactly, right? She's like, yeah, I know. He doesn't try and blow me off and give me some, oh, I ran into a door. He's like, no, I got beat up by a fucking hell demon, you know? And she's like, oh, okay, we need this ointment, not that ointment.
Exactly.
But yes, but I love that moment where exactly just shows her savviness in that. Where Harry's like, I don't fucking know, what do you want me to do?
Incredibly capable.
She's like, bleed, bitch, because most things can't fake that. It's not perfect, but it's damn
gotta
good.
Start somewhere.
Yep. Yeah. So he's like, okay, and then, yeah.
Just pointing that out there. The only time that would not work is if it was a situation like in John Carpenter's The Thing.
I will have to take your word for it. What happens in John Carpenter's
The Thing? It completely replicates the DNA.
Yep. And there is a specific scene. They take blood samples and they figure out heat is what this alien hates. So they heat up a copper coil and they put it in the blood.
Gotcha.
And if it just goes out, it's like, okay, that person's safe. Let's untie them. But I think my favorite is one of the blood samples isn't safe and it like jumps out.
It runs away.
It's squealing sound and it's like this great jump scare. Gross. It's one of my favorites. It actually, I know it's coming every time and it scares the shit
so
out of
funny.
Me.
So funny.
And then that's you just hilarious. See the remaining people tied up on the couch and the guy who's infected just starts like shaking and morphing.
Untie me.
And then they're like freaking out like, oh my God, set it on fire. And the other two are just like, no, get us off the
fucking
couch.
I'm next to you. Move them first, then set them on fire. That is hilarious.
That is a great movie.
They really are.
It is. Even the prequel I enjoyed and the original that it's based off of is also really good.
Intriguing.
So they start unloading the children from the closet and Harry is kind of like, okay, we got things to do. And she's like, excuse me? My fucking kids almost just died. You're helping, bitch.
Right.
Okay, fair enough. Hopefully she never finds out that I almost killed her oldest daughter. But other than that, everything's okay. I'm just going to help out.
I'm not telling her why they all just died. But
at a moment too, where it's like, and Jesus Christ, you know, I'll help.
Help me or fuck off.
Yeah.
My children are vulnerable. I am getting them to safety.
I can definitely appreciate that. Like, she knows what's going on. She knows what she has to do. Like, she's not playing the poor defenseless wife of, oh, my husband's not home. Help.
Yeah.
Damsel in distress. She's just like, my husband is not fucking home. I need to get these kids to safety. I don't really give a fuck what you have to say. You're helping me. And if you're not going to move the fuck out of my way, I'll just do it.
Yeah, she's very strong. She takes charge.
Oh, yeah.
Mama bear.
Straight up.
Very. And even that, like, even the strength it must have taken when Molly and Daniel were separated, where she's like, I still need to get the youngest, most vulnerable to safety. I can't wait around and expose all of them. I'm going to have to cross my fingers and hope that Daniel and Molly are old enough to, right? You know, again, she's like, this is my drink. Again, put your mask on before you help your kids, right? She's like, I got to get them in. If I stay out here, I'm dead. I'm no good to them either. I am going in there with them.
Yeah, the fortitude and the resolve and the bravery.
The tough decisions, but yeah, making, and again, staying, like, again, that not panicking, right? She's like, I am the wife of a warrior. I know how to do my shit too, right? I can't just fall apart. And this is, again, part of why them and their kids and their whole thing is so right, because she's not just some weak-willed little trophy wife or something, you know? She is there as much as she's able, like, step, you know, toe-to-toe with Michael and stuff.
Michael's
like that,
equal,
right?
You know?
Yeah, pretty much on every sense, right? So she's like, yeah, maybe she's not 100% out there, you know, fighting bad guys, but exactly, she can hold her own and she can, you know, and again, right, you just totally envision that, lifting the cars off of, you know, and stuff like that, right? You're like, yeah, do not mess with this fucking mama there.
So they head to St. Mary's of the Angels, and Thomas opts not to come in and to park the rental van in case Madrigal reports it as stolen. And he opts to park the rental van in case Madrigal.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I said it right. It sounds so funny the third time saying it in a row.
Maddie?
Mm-hmm. The dick reports it as stolen.
Oh, can I just go back to that whole thing, too? That whole thing, very rarely in my life do I ever say, hey, sis, hey, bro, anything like that. I find it comes up more so in books, sometimes a little bit in TV, but almost never. The amount of times you're like, hey, cuz, who the fuck talks like that? Nobody talks like that. You would be like, Thomas? Or whatever. I'm like, when you talk to what's his nuts, do you ask him be like, hey, cuz, long time no see. Oh my God, cuz, I can't believe, I'm gonna tell uncle on you. No, it's like my uncle, or I'm gonna tell Uncle Jeffrey on you. Not like fucking uncle's gonna be so mad, cuz.
Don't worry, sister.
I don't know, so.
Yes, but like in a joking or whatever, you don't go around being like, oh, sis, oh my God, hi, sis, long time no, right? Like the way they use it in like books and stuff so often.
I'm it is annoying.
I do not refer to family members, it's like by their name or like, hey, you, or dickhead or something, not like. brother. Oh my God, how much?
Magical reporting the van stolen, though, I just absolutely believe it.
Absolutely. the kind of dick thing he would do just because, yeah.
Well, you did take my van.
You shot my knees off, okay? That was like, fuck you. I'm going to report the van stolen.
It's also understandable why Thomas wouldn't want to go in either.
That too.
And I like how he says, you know, as being part of the white court, they're the closest to human. There's not really anything stopping. Like, the black court, the red court, these phages, they can't cross holy ground. They're like, Thomas can. He just is like, you know what? I'm just not sure that he's going to like it all that much. I've been feeding again. I have this demon inside me.
Harry himself doesn't always feel.
Incriminate.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'm just going to be kind of respectful and be like, I'm just not even going to try to come into your house. I'm going to just stay out here and go find somewhere to ditch this car far, far away.
In a lot of ways, Thomas is much smarter than his brother.
In a lot of ways. Well, you know, he is older. He's had so much time to mature and learn these things.
So I pulled some pictures of St. Mary's. See them. Like, it is.
It's definitely what I envisioned, too.
There, yeah.
A little better angle for you.
As a big cathedral.
It's actually what I saw in my mind. That is so surreal.
And if you have access to Tans and Notes, you too can see. I mean, I'm sure you can also just Google it yourself.
Sure, I've had all sorts of fun things like GIFs, depending on your flavor.
How dare you.
And pictures. Sometimes I put links to songs.
Right.
I have one in the neck. Yeah. Actually, no, I have it in this one. Yes. I have a link to a song.
Shocking.
You are shooketh, I'm sure.
I am shooketh.
And all her horrible title ideas.
Yeah, I've got all sorts of extra ideas for titles.
So along with avoiding the carpenters, Harry's also avoided church this whole time, which, to be fair, if he doesn't need to, like, protect himself on consecrated ground, he doesn't have much of a reason to go.
Yeah.
But he gets that wariness just like Thomas. He's like, oh, we're in. Okay, cool. I didn't catch on fire. Okay. Ooh.
Right? He's like, I'm not adversaries with the Lord, but we ain't buds, so. Yeah, always kind of a little cautious towing
on. And now it's worth wearing his coat. Screw the heat. I want protection. Okay. Little late, but okay.
Hello, Fort Hill. Once again, he's like, y'all have shown up. Come on. See, I think this is part of the other reason why they had to use, like, St. Mary's, because if Father Fort Hill was just some little, like, parish priest, his rectory would be essentially, like tiny homes. Like, I've had the odd occasion to be in, like, they're like, you know, it's got a kitchen and a bedroom somewhere, and then usually a small office that is crammed, like, floor to ceiling, wall to wall with books. And, you know, so I'm like, but here, a church this size, you're going to have multiple masses, multiple things going on. You're going to have more than one priest. You got, like, this nice big-ass rectory where you can just house all the millions of people that Michael and Harry just send there on a regular, random basis. Pull out the cots. We got another sleepover going on.
Literally.
But yeah, they
it's
would
like
never
a
have...
community muster point at this point.
Exactly, yeah. I was like, you would never have room to put up all of these people. Maybe that's just it. Maybe it's just like, I know the carpenters. We need a big church. Even just whenever they...
Just to house their children.
Just for that family, we need a whole shebang, let alone anyone else that might come along for the ride.
So Harry excuses himself when Charity starts updating Father Fort Hill, and he tells Mouse to stay and watch the children.
Poor little three-legged Mouse who's limping along. Mouse is like, I'll come with you.
I'm going to be a good boy.
And he's like, no, stay. Oh, he's like, oh, my God. Yeah.
Watch the kids, Mouse. They need you more than me.
Oh, if you insist.
Yeah.
Aw, buddy.
Harry makes his way to the balcony when Lashiel's voice briefly comes to him. This really interesting sort of moment, because she's...
Who she is.
That's, yeah, who she is. And she can see what the place looks like and is saddened, but also thinks it's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, nostalgic. This used to be her home.
This could have all been hers. This was all hers at one point. All this, yeah, beauty and light and grace. And now she's just not allowed in anymore. I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, it was a nice touch. I liked it.
It's
I liked that moment.
Being evicted from the Big Brother house or something. You're like, no, but I'm just going to...
It's perfect comparison.
I'm right. Can you tell I've been hanging around people watching Big Brother lately? Although this year's idea kind of like the hotel thing they got going on. It's better than some of the other weird things they've had. But yes.
Does Fort Hill have enough hats for you? Because he's about to get a new one.
I told you. These are services priests offer for their flock. Psychiatrist is right up there, or therapist at least. Maybe not psychiatrist, but...
Well, now he's bartender.
And that too.
Sounds like my kind of priest.
I did. Oh my God, years ago, there was like this sort of a word. It was when all the flooding here happened in 2013, and I was working in a temp agency. And a few of us ended up getting taken out for dinner, or those that had been working in the office and stuff like that. And they had to send people in from like other branches to cover it, right? Because they needed this huge workforce. So we go, I get there, and there was like two or three other girls, a couple of them like, you know, younger than me or whatever, like in the 20s. And the boss people or whatever from the company were like, okay, well, you guys can get, like you guys want to get a drink or whatever. And, you know, and the one girl was just like, oh, she's like, no, that's okay. She's like, I'm, you know, she's like, I don't really drink ever much anyway. You know, like my parents are Christian or whatever. And I was like, whoa. I was like, no, or I didn't think she might even have said Catholic or something like that. And I was like, I was like, Catholics drink. Mm-hmm. I was like, you can be lots of other kind of religions. You can be even other types of Christians. But I was like, Catholics drink. We fucking drink at Matt. Okay. And she was like, okay. Well, they're like, blah. I'm like, just because you didn't. Yeah. But I'm like, being Catholic has nothing to do with. It was just like so. I was like, no, that's not why. So yes, he pulls out his flask. He knows his audience.
Harry does open up to him, and he tells him about the events at the convention and how it ended up affecting the Carpenters.
Mm-hmm.
And Fort Hill explains to Harry that he is a man of power, and as a result, he ends up having more choices and therefore has higher odds of making a mistake at some point.
Exactly.
And he is, you know, human and all that.
What?
Well, even this moment, too, Harry's like, well, I don't care if I mess up and I'm the one who gets screwed for it, but it's not fair when I mess up and other people have to pay for it. And Fort Hill's like, too bad. You're not in charge of that.
Well, and exactly, right? It's like parents making decisions for their kids or whatever. Oops, I didn't go the way I thought. Governments making choices for their countries, right? Which way is it going to go? Is it going to be the right one? Is everyone going to agree with you? Abso-fucking-lutely not.
But the problem with not being omnipotent.
Right? This is the thing, is the higher you get, the more, right, the boss at work versus the low-level peon, right? Your what actions affect who and how broadly, you know? And yes, Harry, you are in a position now where exactly you're making big choices and they have big consequences.
Like, this is definitely words that Harry needs to hear because he's repeatedly been beating himself up over and over and over again, unnecessarily so.
Right.
So it's good to have.
And these are the things where
somebody
you're conscious, right?
Who thrives off of guilt. Come on.
Exactly, right. Okay. I know how to deal with this. I don't think it's been brought up here yet, too. That was another thing my sister posted in our family chat the other day, that like the writers of Batman have been chatting and they've been arguing back and forth over whether like Batman is like Protestant or
Batman
Catholic.
Is definitely Catholic.
And they're like, Batman is Catholic. They're like, nobody could suffer as much guilt as Bruce and not be Catholic. And I was like, oh my God, that is like as definitive as you're going to get. But
it's this moment going back and forth, too, with the priest of exactly. You don't get to decide. You just have to have faith that there is good in everything and that the Lord has a plan and you have to have faith in that.
Yeah, but hang on, because I interrupted myself on that point. But I was going to say this. We as the readers and with Harry, we're like, yeah, fucking send those motherfuckers back on that guy. Karma, he deserves it. You know what? Harry could have opted for a different or a gentler approach to stop, capture. Like, I don't know.
But why would you? In the porn star studio, it was a great plan. Send it right back on their asses.
Maybe, but this is the thing, right? Is that, again, you never know. And this is, again, the turn the other. You can take the hard knowledge. And again, we're all like, fucking, yeah, revenge, get that fucker. Because you're getting it for all of us, right? Most of our decisions in our life, most of us don't have that opportunity to pay back whoever's wronged us and blah, 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 right? So you're like, the beauty of the escape mm-hmm. of movies and books, right? We're like, fucking, yeah, kill that bitch, even though you wouldn't. But again, it's, right? You do have those decisions. You could have made a different decision that might not have ended up endangering Molly. Yeah, you didn't know.
And this is a beautiful way to set up.
But you still could have stopped the guy without.
His life is always going to be in the gray.
This is Jim Butcher himself just, I don't know, confessing his own, clearing his own mind. Don't worry, we're building up to something. Yes, it sucks now, but there's always a silver lining.
Guys? This is God's plans. I swear, it's okay. But yeah, it's that interesting of again, even the choices you make, the choices within the choices of.
It's nice that this moment. Like it's nice that he does try it again and it doesn't work. Like you can't use the same tactics over and over and over. Otherwise, it'll get kind of repetitive.
Fair enough. Like we said, keep it fresh.
And he makes some fair points. You're exactly right. He's like, so Daniel's hurt. Molly could still be dead. And he's like, it all has its limit. And he's like, yeah. And he's like, then what's the point? What is the motherfucking point of that? You know? And it's again, it's like, where do we go from here? I think that was the whole thing. He's like,
because you gotta have faith. Ooh,
right?
You gotta have faith. Now, you know, of course, when I read this moment, I, of course, now Father Fort Hill looks like George Michael. Because I gotta have faith. I gotta have faith. Because I
right, of course. Well, see, I went the other way. Where did I go, folks? Can we guess? Really? I'm disappointed in you. Show me, Ice Bat. Show me something beautiful about this. Show me the silver fucking line and give me something to sing about. Oh, Buffy the Musical.
Wow, I'm literally wearing her shirt right now.
I know, you are.
I was trying to figure out where your shirt was from.
Yes, Buffy Sunnydale High.
No, I didn't watch Buffy. Well, why
for
not?
For shame. It's fun.
I've seen the odd episode here and there, but...
It's getting a reboot.
That's wonderful.
But yes, yeah.
Probably won't watch that either.
Buffy was fun, and it had a couple of really cute guys in it.
So Harry asks Fort Hill not to tell Charity. He's like, no, you are not the only one to be afraid to believe.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, I may have, and can you just not bring this up right now? Because she will kill me before I have a chance to fix any of this. And Fort Hill, again, is like, kind of not my place. All right, I get it. Right? Yeah, intentions. Obviously, had you had the least idea this was going to happen, I believe that you would. And yeah, it's just that whole thing of Harry being like, give me forgiveness, but don't forgive me. I'm not worthy of forgiveness, and I need someone to talk to, but what is the point of any of it, Fort Hill? And
sad orphan Harry.
Takes it all in stride. And yeah, what does it boil? Sometimes you just have to have faith that you'll find faith.
Well, and I liked that he put, that he tells, that Fort Hill tells Harry that Charity is also struggling, so because it puts Harry and Charity on equal footing.
It does, because again, like, so much, you have no problems, you never seem to have any issues, you make your right, and you don't know what problems, you don't know what that person had to overcome to, whether it's, you know, cleaning their house or being successful or like this, right? He's like, Charity's got it all together. Charity's this great strong woman, and she's beautiful, and she's got this awesome husband, and she's got these beautiful kids, and they've got their white picket house and their fence and their whole whatever. You know, like, from Harry's eyes, this is the ideal, right? This is everything Harry could ever, ever, ever have wanted, and Charity's got it all. So obviously, Charity's got no issues. Everything is perfect for Charity, right? And he's like, no, she's got her own issues. She's got her own struggles. She's got her own problems. Like, don't fucking forget this, Harry. You know, just because they're different from yours doesn't mean they don't exist.
And they're interrupted by Alicia, who tells them that Daniel is now awake. Thank you to our Patreon subscribers for your generous support. It's people like you who help us do what we do. If you're not yet a Patreon subscriber, sign up today and get a fuck ton of bonus content, kick-ass merch, behind-the-scenes outtakes, and more. Sign up today at patreon.com/freeflowrambling. Chapter 31. Daniel recounts what happened during the attack. Harry examines Daniel and then Nelson with the sight and has a sudden realization.
So, during Daniel's recount of the story, and it's told like a monster movie, it's told like a slasher movie, and what I really love that they touch base on is the trauma that this is leaving him, not just physical, but mental and emotional. And when I started like really getting into horror movies, that wasn't something I really thought of afterwards, but I find myself a lot more now after I watch like something really fucked up, whether it's a paranormal movie, whether it's a slasher. It's like, you know, everything's all hunky-dory.
Are the deeper meanings?
No, not the deeper meanings. Like, everything's fine. Bad guy was defeated. Except these people have to live with this trauma.
The follow-up of and their experiences.
You don't see that a lot in horror. You see it a little more now. Halloween would be the most notable because they came back with H2O. Laurie Strode ran off, and it's 20 years later. She's under a new identity. She's not facing what happened at all. She has a kid. She's a principal of some prestigious private school. But she doesn't really talk about her life. And then she's forced to when Michael finds her and comes to the school. And they kind of tried, didn't really succeed with that, but they really nailed it with the 2018 remake. Well, sequel, because they go for it and it's showing Laurie is still traumatized. She's not dealing with it in the right way. She's drinking heavily. She's just living as a recluse in the woods, but she has a daughter who was taken away from her because she didn't handle that trauma.
I didn't get it.
We saw it again. Texas Chainsaw tried doing it, but we don't We don't talk about that very much. But even another one is Final Destination 2. We find the sole survivor of the first movie, Clear.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Right in a mental asylum.
Yeah, she won't leave.
She won't leave this mental asylum. She checked herself the fuck in. A lot of it, yes, was because she knew she was going to die next.
What is a good representation of
it's
trauma?
It's such a good representation of trauma as well, because she is like, everybody's seeing her as this fucking nutcase going, oh my God, like you're locking yourself in and hiding from everything. And it's like, okay, but think about this. She watched a plane blow up and all of her classmates, one of her teachers, so many innocent people just fucking gone like that. And then you have to watch all of your friends, your boyfriend, just get killed off one by one in the most brutal fucking situations. Mm-hmm. I put myself in an asylum too, not just for the safety, but also it's like, I've got some shit to process. So I really love that they do dabble on going, oh, like this is going to leave a lot of emotional and mental scarring on Daniel. Well, no shit. Mm-hmm. He just got attacked by movie monsters. He watched his sister get dragged out of the fucking house. Like, now he's being exposed to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, and to the added element of these aren't just monsters, but these are mental traumatizing monsters.
Yeah, that they're exactly. Feeding on his psyche.
Yeah.
Yes.
But you, like, again, you don't see that enough in horror. And again,
a lot of the consequences stop.
Everybody goes off and lives happily ever after. That's not always the case.
Yeah. No, especially absolutely not.
Butcher is really good with following up on repercussions of things that happen. He's really great about
100%.
It.
100%. Like, again, this being the only Dresden book I've read, it's like, this came out in 2005 when mental health wasn't really a thing yet.
Still not as prevalent as, we're trying to make it out now. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so the fact that he went and took it to that degree, hello, it's like, people. You are a little more ahead of your time here, sir.
Right. Well, that is true, because you think about even just, like, all, like, the little normal things that we experience, and, like you say, what causes trauma to each individual person and, you know, stuff like that. So it's like, yeah, obviously when you've got it elevated and emphasized, like, 1,000 times, hello, yes, that would leave a mark on some. Yes, it would leave a mark on Murphy. Yes, it would leave a mark on O'Malley. Yes, it's going to leave a mark on Daniel and all of them and stuff like that. Like, yeah, like, don't forget people. Well, there's...
I mean, how many times in the first few books where I was like, oh my God, classic signs of PTSD right here, folks. Like,
right? Yeah.
Time to get a therapist, Harry.
Yes, we had a whole, you missed that whole discussion on what Harry does for therapy and how he definitely should have one.
Well, and his therapist needs a therapist.
And his therapist needs a therapist.
Fort Hill, time to step the fuck up. Come on. Right, don't worry about the carpenters right now. We've got to deal with Harry.
Here he is, exactly, dealing with it. Yes, once again. But I love to, in this, like, again, we're like, oh, the hero, the kids always save the world. And again, just this sometimes, you know, out of the mouths of babes things and babes taking the direct approach to, like, you know, we as adults complicate the fuck out of everything. He's like, I figure I'd go hide in the treehouse because, hello, he's got hammer hands. He can't climb up after me. Fucking brilliant.
That's very clever.
Yep. Fucking cute. Brilliant. The adults simple. Would be like trying to rig booby traps and like, he's just like, I don't know. He probably can't follow me here.
It's a great way to save your character without.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's plausible.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. I also want to just point out, because I kind of made a small crack about, it's like, oh, Daniel's the final girl in this situation. No, this is why he's the final girl. And before anybody comes after me, go watch Nightmare on Elm Street 2. The final girl is a dude.
There's always, right?
There can be a final boy in the final girl role.
Absolutely.
Daniel, like, actually used his head.
Have you seen the movie The Final Girl?
No.
They have come out with a horror movie. It's a comedy horror movie.
Didn't it That's come out like 10 years ago?
Based on that concept.
Yeah. It's called it's Buffy.
The Final Girl. And they go
Enough
through like.
With Buffy, if I haven't watched it now, I'm not going to.
They end up going through different movie scenarios that they have to sort of reenact.
I'm going to go look that
it's,
up.
It's
now.
Fun. It's fun.
Yeah, but all I know was that was the purpose of the original movie, right? Was the dumb blonde who always gets killed actually being the savior, but. Yes, so I love this, yeah. So he's like, I don't know what to do. I'm getting attacked. I'm getting slashed out a little. Molly's in trouble. I can't, right? So tries to lure it away, gets up to the hairball, and Molly gets dragged off anyways. And then, again, just this, right, he starts breaking down. So, again, Molly's 17.
Sorry, Mom.
So, right, Daniel, we don't know the exact age difference, but, like, 14, 15 kind of a thing, right? Figure there's, like, maybe less, but, you know, a year, a couple of years, whatever, right? And, yeah.
He's like, I'm sorry, Mom, I
still
tried.
A little kid.
And you know baby. He's just trying to emulate his father's role.
Right, his parents.
Dad saves the day, so do I.
Yeah,
I have to.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just hard, because he did do so much. They did. provide some distraction, right? Charity and the little ones got to safety in that, right? You kind of, you did your thing. You tried to draw it away from your sister. You got yourself to, with a logical reasoning of, he can't get me up here. And you're still just like, I didn't do enough. I didn't save everybody. I failed, you know? It's just like, oh, baby
boy. I have
to,
like, give some props to Charity here where she's just like, no, like, you did more than you think.
Yeah.
Like, these things happen. And she's being very realistic with him, but also incredibly reassuring. And that right there, it's like, mom of the fucking year, man.
Yes, right? Should all aspire,
like,
to be his.
You know how they always say when dad leaves, okay, the oldest boy, you're the man of the house now. It's not so much being said, but it's being implied. It's like, no, just because your dad's not here doesn't mean you take that role.
Daniel also has that pressure that he's already stated that he has to take over Molly's role since she hasn't been there as the oldest now.
Mm-hmm.
So he's also layered that on top of it.
That is a fair role, right? Kids do have roles to play in the house. Yes, you should help out and, you know, I babysat siblings and stuff like that. That is a reasonable expectation. But yes, now he's suddenly keeping this other much bigger one that should not be on his shoulders. You know, yeah, you helping out with bedtime or something like that, you helping watch the little ones, you know, and do their homework so mom can make dinner and feed you, well, that is a perfectly reasonable expectation and absolutely a part of being a family and working together and creating civilizations. This is how they work, right? But
your dad leaves town on a business trip and three movie monsters show up.
Yeah.
It's not your job to step in to his role and protect the family.
Right. Yeah, you did. What you did was amazing and far above and beyond what needed to be done. And kudos to you.
Good job, kid.
You did a great job. Yeah.
So Harry explains that Daniel will have psychic damage as a result of the attack. And Fort Hill mentions that he thinks the same thing has happened to Nelson, who also happens to be there.
So yeah, it brings it up now. By the way, that kid you sent here showed up. I don't know what his problem is, but he's in bad shape. And if you hadn't told me, I would have thought he was just, yeah, some tweaker looking for a fix, coming down, going through withdrawal, whatever. Like, he's like, something is off about this. Right? And they're like, but he's not doing drugs, so what's the problem? Yeah. Bad reaction to drugs, yes, he says. Yeah.
Fort Hill also asks the important question, how the phages got inside the house without an invitation. And Harry sort of deduces that they got the invite because they're shapeshifters and used somebody else's face, and that Molly probably just let them in because she didn't even know that they were
right.
Monsters.
And we get a hint to it, right? Daniel tells us what happened. So he's like, there had been a knock at the door. Molly went to answer it. There had been an exchange of words, and then Molly started screaming and slammed the door. Right? So exactly. Because, yeah, you're like, why the fuck was she talking to them at first, right? And you're like, oh, because they weren't them. Yeah, exactly. It looked like Dresden or Rosie or whoever the fuck, right? Somebody reasonable showed up and she was like, oh my God.
Harry, of course, just assumes it was him.
Which?
It was my face. They had to have used my face. It happened again.
I know. Not altogether unreasonable, but I kind of did the same thing. Like, again, I'm like, I don't know, but it couldn't have been Nelson. Like, Molly doesn't know what. Maybe
not everything's about you, Dresden.
Right? Maybe they released Rosie from the hospital. You don't know that Dresden sent Nelson to Fort Hill, right? It could have been any of these two people who've been very much in her life.
I am the main character.
Yeah. And that's twice someone's used my face. Yeah, because, and the last time was with the Carpenters, was when they lured, you weren't there for that one, in book three, Harry shows up and goes to Charity and is like, Michael's in trouble, come with me. And it wasn't. It was the bad guy leading her off to do terrible, horrible things and fuck up Michael because they had his wife, right? But yeah, so now again, he's like, oh my God, it's the Carpenters. Like, nobody ever disrupts the Carpenters unless Harry shows up on the doorstep.
Well, self-flagellation, you know, number one master of it. Harry's like, I'm going to go stare at these guys with my sight so I never forget that innocent people get hurt when I fuck up. Right.
I'm going to look at them extra long.
Didn't already know this. Yeah.
So yeah, stares down Daniel, and as predicted, he's got some of the psychic trauma. And, you know, again, as expected, but he makes
O'Malley,
sure he stares for a
Murphy.
Long time to feel bad. And then he looks over to Nelson, and holy shit,
by accident, though, shall we say, because he wasn't intending to. He heard a noise, and before taking off his sight, automatic human reaction, you look at what? Oh my God, what the fuck is wrong with this person?
cartoon moment right there where you're just like walking into a room and it's like, you know, somebody getting out of the shower and it's just like, oh, you know, I thought we could do like Thai food. Oh my God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah, right. Not what I thought I was walking in on.
So unlike Pell or the comatose girl or even Daniel here where they seem to be a little bit shredded, Nelson and Rosie both had the precision scalpel lovingly cared for drilling
right into their skulls.
And it all makes sense to Harry now. Everything fits together.
Mm-hmm. He realizes what's happened.
Yeah.
Why did the phages go after the carpenters? Why did they take Molly to the Never Never with them? Why are Nelson and Molly and Rosie all mixed up with this?
Why am I so hungry?
I love this too. He's like, his change of logic cascaded through my brain. All I'm seeing is little matrix data.
I like that phrasing.
Mm. Yeah, I do. I like it too. But yeah, the change of logic cascade. But that was one of the first things that come to mind is all the little... everything all falling into place and locked. But I learned again, it's great. And you're right. We all have those moments where you're like, why did it take me so long to figure this out? I'm such an idiot. Mm-hmm. I, you know, in the simplest of everyday tasks. But part of me is like, really? You didn't get all the fucking clues leading up to this? I was picking them up, Harry. I knew what was going on. But then again, I was only being fed the clues, not the rest of it.
So it doesn't make any sense. Molly
called
never.
It like in the hospital with Rosie, like something just clicked. I'm like,
Right? You're like, oh, this one thing that's being mentioned that's not like the others. Well, I bet this will have significance.
For us, well, for me, sorry, I won't assume, but all the hindsight of rereading this book for the millionth time now to come and record it and being like, oh, real convenient that Molly keeps leaving the room every time Harry goes to do magic and detective work. Does anyone need a coffee? Ha, ha, ha. Do I need to go over here? Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to go shower over here. Ha, ha, ha. Yeah, yeah. Pull up your sight, Harry. Just let me leave the room first.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, all these things Yeah.
He always left right before he was about to do any of his...
I mean, she didn't know.
She
didn't
know.
Of course not.
It's a convenient plot point to not
have
her there.
The same thing with why Mouse was never around in the previous book when we needed him to sniff out bad guys. It's like, why, Mouse? Why are you going away right now?
Yeah. Because it would make it way too simple and the book would be over in chapter two. But yes, exactly. All those little things where you're like, I may not have known like exactly what, but I'm like, I knew this was like somehow a thing.
Right, so he takes a minute to scarf down his sandwiches, and then he goes finds Charity.
Because again, he does say it too, when he goes to bring up the side, it even takes him longer. So once again, Harry is beaten physically, mentally, exhausted, hungry, tired. Yeah, this is why Harry doesn't
My
get it.
My life sucks.
Okay. We all got it, but okay, Harry, you just, yeah.
And
but
we get the surprise, if you hadn't been figuring it out. He lays it all out of the table right then and there and just asks Charity, how long has it been since you used your magic?
What?
Huh?
And I do not think that I saw that specific. Again, I was like, obviously Molly's got something I got. But again, I'm like, these things like skip a generation or is it something through like Michael's divine world? Like, I honestly, I'm pretty sure the first time I read this, that was a what
is
kind
a
of moment. What, Charity?
Yeah.
Super anti-Dresden
And it just completely explains everything. Like,
that's
a key piece that, like, fills all the check boxes of why.
Mic drop to the extreme. Yeah. How long has it been since you used your magic?
It's
more on that next time.
1 week since you looked at me. I don't know why that came to mind, but it worked.
Because we are infecting you. Everything leads back to a song sooner or later.
This concludes our episode 17.19. Faitha. Thank you for listening. You can find us online at freeflowrambling.com and mcanallys.ca. There we have links to our other podcasts, social media, and other fun tidbits. Please subscribe if you like what you're hearing, and please consider supporting us through Patreon to keep the magic alive and to see more content. We are Free Flow Rambling, conjured by it at your own risk.